Good morning. My name is Ed Holohan, and this is The View From Here. I was a great, not a good, but a great altar boy. Hey, get your hand away from that button. This is not a story of how much I miss being a Catholic, and it is certainly not a tell-all about the fate of certain young people in close proximity with certain older offenders. For the record, that kind of stuff never happened to me. It's a shame that I felt it necessary to even mention it, but say the words altar boy nowadays, and you get the knee-jerk question about abuse. My answer is emphatically no. Okay, got that out of the way. I'll start with midnight mass on Christmas Eve of 1959. It was one of the excellent things that happened in 1959. Now, one of the worst things about 1959 was that the White Sox went to the World Series instead of the Yankees, but that's another story. And thank you for sticking with me. If I haven't lost you by now, mentioning altar boys and the Yankees in the first two paragraphs, you are indeed my new best friend. Midnight Mass was a big deal. Woodside, Queens, New York was the home of St. Sebastian's Parish. That parish, my parish, was home to 5,000 families. There were 2.5 churches to service this huge congregation. The main church, a converted Lowy's Theater, seated 1,500. Next to it sat a chapel, where most daily masses, weddings, and funerals were held. It seated about 200. Across the street, and next to St. Sebastian's School, was the original church of the parish. It was a 100-year-old white frame building with that archetypical steeple. This is the church that housed the overflow midnight mass every Christmas Eve. With a big church filled to capacity, there were still a lot of folks who wanted to attend midnight mass. Now, imagine that. A parish where we anticipated standing room only in two large buildings every year for a show that started at 11 o'clock at night. Johnny Boyle and I owned that venue, the one in the old church. Young Mr. Boyle and I were chosen several years running to serve that midnight mass. Now picture this. Two cute as buttons, blonde-headed, tiny boys in our cassocks and surplices, that's the black and white garb you may be familiar with, moving together in perfect unison, gliding, if you will, back and forth across that stage, sanctuary, completely attuned to each other. The presiding priest and our adoring audience too. The congregation. We had our Latin down pat. That's right, in those days, Mass was in Latin. We knew the choreography, which was complicated. It didn't hurt a bit that Johnny and I made up half the infield on our local baseball team. We always knew what the other would do and where he would be. If you had been seated in that congregation and facing the altar, that would be me kneeling on the right side of the first stair and John on the left side. Our backs are to you, doing most of the service. We were exactly the same size, and when you could see our faces, you might very well think that you were looking at an Irish postcard. I'm sure half the congregation thought we were brothers. We used to get tips, a quarter or 50 cents after the show, the service. I distinctly remember perfect strangers, men and women alike, staring at us with big, goofy smiles on their faces. You know what? I'll bet more than a few of them were thinking, why can't my kids be like them? It's funny, but in all our years, John and I never played together, other than as infielders and altar boys. We lived within blocks of each other, attended the same classes for 8 years, but we never hung out. I guess we had what you might call a professional relationship. How about that? 10-year-olds with a professional relationship. Well, I haven't seen him in 50 years. I wonder if he went to Vietnam. I wonder if he played American Legion ball. And at my age, you can't help it. I wonder if he's still on the planet. I wonder if we got together now and took a table at the Spoon or the Driftless, if a stranger might happen upon us and think, look at those two. Surely they're brothers. Why can't my brothers be like them?